Well, Romans chapter 15, we're back on times and seasons. And we'll probably have to end it temporarily for now. Something else next week. One look at something else next week. It's about the same thing, but we'll pick on something else. I want you to just be able to, you know, practice what we're saying. Because the end point of information is to act on it. James 1 says, every good and every perfect is from above, down from Father of lights. Verse 17, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, this of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of the first fruits of his own creatures. It says, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. The wrath of man walks not the righteousness of God. Laying aside all filthiness, verse 21, is prophecy of naughtness, receiving meekness, the engrafted word, which has already saved you, and will save your soul. It says, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If any be a doer of the word, or a hearer of the word, not a doer, is likened unto a man who beholds his natural face in the mirror, straightway goes his way, and forgets the man of man that he was. It says, whoso looks in the path of liberty and continues therein, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer, says the same man is blessed in his deed. Sometimes, like a brother said one day, what a lot of believers experience is information overload. Have you ever seen overload on something? And you just get enough information, but they are not really practicing anything. And I remember my dear friend Pastor Larry Amuson said back then that it's not with. Now, but this statement should not be taken as an eternal statement, but it's not with, but depth. And depth is acquired, or let's say accomplished, by actions. The depth you have in the Word of God comes from your experience in it. So, whilst the pastor must continually feed you the Word, you must see it as to act on the Word. Someone who asked me said, is there not a time we can just stop listening and start acting? I said, part of acting is listening. All right? When you can't listen to the same thing over and over again, it means you are not practicing it. One of the proofs that you are practicing something is that you are listening to it again and again and again. Okay? That's one. And then you have it in heart to act on it. And that's why I gave you this. I remember I first shared it at one of the, was it leaders meeting 2021 or 20, I forgot the year now. And I said, the first thing is that when you listen to any teaching, you sit back and say, okay, what was the text? You know, you must remember the key text. What was the information that was given? You must highlight it. And then what's the instruction I was given? Then you now say, what's the correction that was given? What was corrected? It could be my thought pattern. It could be something I just did that day, or something I was going to do. It could be a habit I didn't know was wrong. It could be a mindset. It could be something I saw about scriptures that was wrong. You know, I must be able to say this is exactly what it is. Then what are the actions I'm meant to take? You must be able to point out to what you are doing with what you are hearing. And, you know, of course, like I said, you don't say, let me stop listening, let me start acting. Part of acting is listening, because it says he continues therein. The word therein, notice in the Greek is slanted, which means in the King James is slanted, which means it's italicized. So it means he continues to look. So as you continue to look, right, you start to act on the word. So one doesn't stop for the other. You must therefore make sure that you are seeing the goal of listening to the word of God is acting upon it. And why did we take this thing at the beginning of a new year? Because it's to seize the moment. People like New Year, every birthday, people are trying to make a decision, you know, all those kind of things. So it's good, but it's also better for you to know what time really is and why we have times and seasons in our lives. And that's why we broke it into details for you to be able to consume it easily. Romans 15 and 3, 4, pardon me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through the patience and the comforts of the scriptures might have hope. So we said the first thing here is the scriptures, the things written aforetime are for doctrine. That's the word learning, doctrine, which deals with academic insight, wisdom, that we through the patience and the comfort of the scriptures, comfort there is to come to your assistance. So the scriptures will come to my assistance, which I've seen, showed you over time, that you identify yourself in scripture. I say, well, so by the time you see, you say, okay, then I'm learning something. And like the writer said, you will have expectation. So by learning scripture, you now have an expectation. Patience and comfort of the scriptures, the word parakaleo, you now have hope and expectation. So we said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11, it says the things written aforetime, okay? Am I saying the same thing? The things that happened unto them were for examples. This is the word tupos, pattern. And it says, and they were written for admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Upon whom the ends of the world are come. So now, the word admonition there is notesia. We said that, which means to warn. So we also have caution. And we said caution is not legalism. Caution is meant to protect you. Okay? It's meant to protect you. Like Adam and Eve were told, of every tree of the garden thou mayest surely eat, but the tree not of the garden thou must not eat it. The day you eat of it, you shall surely die. It is not legalism. That's caution. And we said that is similar to when, you stop a child from going to the pool. You know, it's not, I remember when I were told that, oh, you can't swim. This is one of the things I knew that there was something about providence there, because when I think about it, I know that this is God, somebody who was praying for me, and I wasn't as much as a serious Christian then, so I was a Christian, but I was backsliding and forsliding. So when I went to this, my cousin, my uncle then had a swimming pool in his house. So I didn't look forward to swimming. And so they told us, don't go near the pool, though. Wait till Monday that someone come and teach you how to swim. They said that on Thursday. I felt that's too long. It's even longer than the resurrection. Why can't I learn? So I was impatient on Friday. By Saturday, I was very impatient. But by the Sunday, you know, I'd waited Thursday, Friday, Saturday. But from the Sunday to the Monday looked the longest. You know how we are sometimes. And I said, what's the big deal about swimming? And I kept going near the swimming pool. I'll just go around it. I'll be looking at it. Then imagine myself, you know, swimming. So I said, okay. So by the Sunday, I just come back from church. Imagine. So I just went there. I said, what's the big deal? You know, to be doing your hand like this. So at the end of the end, my legs were feeling there. I said, oh, this is it not this. So suddenly I just went, woo, like it descended into Sheol. And I said, boo, boo, boo. Ah! Then suddenly I started hearing the voice of my aunt, don't go near, or don't go near. So she wasn't wicked, it was caution, right? Don't go near. So I just closed my eyes and I said, it's over. It's over. And I think I can't talk about any sin in my life. Well, whatever, at this point, I can't even move my mouth to confess. So whatever I was going to confess at this point, I had to be in my mind. I just said, Lord, whatever I've done, forgive me. I showed this guy, I showed that guy. I watched movies, I went to video club, I danced Michael Jackson, Bobby Brown. I just said, in my mind, I couldn't say, I just said, Bobby Brown, Michael Jackson. You know, I just said, it's over. But somehow another cousin of mine, who was a Muslim, just felt that he's just going near the pool. So I was looking at someone, was moving, and then he just stretched his hand and brought me out. That definitely is almost praying for me. You know, that's why I'm here today, right? And he's still not born again. So, you look at that and say, well, you know, it now made sense why they say we should wait till Monday. So that we'll not be, we'll still be around. To learn this way. So caution is not legalism, okay? Caution is not, and some guys like grace. Oh, can you go? Like the grace, you know, in the church, there's liberty. You can do whatever we like, you know. There's nothing like that in life. There's anything that doesn't have control. Even if the wind has no control, you won't like it. Even if the breath in your nose has no control, you cannot breathe, you can't stop it. That's it. Ah, you know, that's close to something else. There has to be control. Is to preserve life. So God's word is just like that. And so we saw the genesis of times and seasons. Let's just again just revisit it. I'll just open, just turn your Bibles to Genesis 1 and verse 5. So you see the contrast. Genesis 1 verse 5 and Revelation. They're both verse 5. It says, and God, of course we had the darkness, remember that? Tohu wabohu, the desert, darkness, all synonyms. And it says in verse 5, and God called the light day, okay? And the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were first day. So the darkness, which was confusion, was not extinguished. It was just separated. So it's going to keep being a season. Okay, but look at Revelation 22 verse 5. It says, and there shall be no night there, new creation, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So you see that we have when there was night, and when there was no night. But in between, you are going to have times and what? Seasons. In between it. So like I said, if you've been following our teachings on So Great Salvation, law in Genesis, seated on high, you know, all the ones where we deal with some of those very core doctrinal issues. We say that the book of Genesis, that opening chapter, is not chronological. It's not like it is the way things happen. It's to explain why things happen. That word beginning there, Reshith, more talks about the span of the earth more than an instant moment. So in the span of the earth, God has separated darkness and light. He didn't take out darkness. Okay? Because we said if he takes out darkness, there will be no mankind. And you will see the reason later on. If you are taking out darkness, there will be no mankind. And he means that mankind in darkness to have new creation. It's quite a complex but simple thing eventually. So you see that in Genesis chapter 8 verse 21, we now saw that the darkness now shows up. It shows up in Adam and Eve, shows up in Cain, shows up eventually in the men in Genesis 6. So in Genesis 6, we looked at the contrast. Genesis 6:3, my spirit shall know that not strive with man. Now what the King James has done here, by, this is where I have challenges with English translation. Sometimes you see an interpretation. Now, in Genesis 1:2, you have the word spirit, the spirit of God, ruach. Let's just use the Hebrew language. Ruach means wind, okay? Or breath, they're cool, okay? In Genesis 2:7, it says, and the Lord God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. The word breathe there is to exhale, to have active air, active wind, the breath of life. Breath of life there is the same word ruach. Breath of life, man became a living soul. Now, if they had left it that way, we would be able to understand what was going on. Genesis 2:7, Genesis 1:2, you have spirit. Now, in Genesis 3:8, when it says the voice of the Lord God walked in the cool of the day. Now, look at, you know, cool means fine breeze, right? Again, breeze is used, and it's the same spirit. Cool of the day. If you are a Jehovah's Witness that is now born again, you think what he's saying is that God was taking fresh air. But the cool of the day there is the spirit itself. So you now go to Genesis 6:3. My spirit shall no longer, you cite the same spirit. So you have spirit in Genesis 1:2, spirit in Genesis 2:7, twice. Blood breathed, which is the active word for ruach. They have breath of life. Genesis 2:7 has a double mention. So Genesis 1, 2, Genesis 2, 7 twice. Genesis 3, 8, spirit. Then Genesis 6, 3, my spirit shall no longer dwell in man. Now that makes sense because you have spirit in Genesis 2, 7. Now you now have Genesis 8, 21. Instead of just leaving the word spirit the way it is, it says that, and the Lord smelled. Do you get it? It's the same word, smelled. So the pictures you are getting is not what is being passed across. The Lord smelled like chicken suya kind of thing. But what he's saying is that the Spirit of God actually came into the altar that Noah just built. And then the word savor there is the same word for rest. So it means the Spirit of God rested with man. Now, what's the difference? Genesis 6:3, my spirit shall no longer strive with man. Genesis 6:5 and 6:6, where the Lord regretted that he made man, because that word is now come. I think that's the Hebrew word. It's a bit complicated again. I'm sorry, complex. Then he says, man will be destroyed. So what happens to Noah is that destruction, which means what he said in Genesis 6:3, you know, was upturned by himself. In Genesis 6:8, when he found Noah, then he built the ark. So the effect of it in Genesis 8:21, where he now says that, look, man's days, man will always be unstable. From youth, he will misbehave. And he will require support. You see that, again, is a statement of everyone that God used. Like I was telling someone the other day, I said, look, and we'll talk about something shortly, that is it not the Bible that was written primarily by Moses? Except it's not the Bible you are talking about. Because they were trying to say some people are not qualified for ministry. I said, if this person is not qualified for ministry, then you should take your Bible and burn it. Because everybody in that Bible, right? And I said, as I mentioning names, let's even start from Moses. I don't want to say anything, no. But Moses. Moses knows that he's Moses. Aaron. Or Abraham. Let me say the way Bro Tok said it yesterday. He said, he collected the bride price of his own wife. I said, Bro Tok, what kind of insight is that? He said, what did he do? I mean, you go to Isaac. Same thing. Jacob. You don't go on this same Bible. So whatever was said, Genesis 8:21, in fact, by Genesis 9:1, Noah, he was drunk. Do you understand? So people are saying, should the Christian take wine? Can't you see Noah? That's the genesis of wine. And you're not asking for moderation. Who moderates it? He's the only ghost that will say, just one cup. Take half. You better stay away. So I was trying to explain it one day. He said, actually cocaine is not that bad. I just start taking it. So you look at the same Bible, it's Moses. Who for Moses? The one that is most startling is David. Because, let's even assume that Jesus didn't bear those names. Jesus' name is David. Jesus sat on the throne of David. So when you see that history, then look at Paul. So people explain Paul. And so we also perfect Paul. We perfected Paul. Like, on the cross, it was Jesus and Paul. Paul that came against circumcision. When Wahala came, he told Timothy, let's circumcise. If you see, what will you do? So I'll stay with the word. I know. So you can go on, or is it Peter? Peter's denial didn't take a few days. It didn't take a week. And Jesus just chose him. He said, look, your denial, the way I am, 7 years. Restoration. You can go on and on. So when you see that kind of Bible, then it says, look, you see Genesis 8:21, and you hear, look, this guy from his youth, my spirit therefore will rest in his worship. I will discover later on that our salvation is actually tied to worship. It's worship. And worship is not about, it produces the conduct of the worshiper, but it is not about the conduct of the worshiper. It's about the faith of the worshiper. So you now have Noah. You know, same Noah. So my spirit will rest with this. So it's not God is smelling and saying, I like your offering. Did you put time? Okay, that was going on here. It's his spirit. So rather than use bread, it says smell. And it's the same word, ruach. We saw that. Then it says, while the earth remaineth. That's the context. It's not for offering. Amen? While the earth remaineth. The way people even use things for offering, you say, read that text again now. Just like the one, there was someone that told me that he believed in all the evil return. I said, okay. So when Jesus said that, he that would leave father, mother for my kingdom, for my sake, I'll give me 100-fold in this life. I said, let's look at that text. He said, father, mother, wife, children. I said, do you drop those people in the offering bag? He said, no, it's the principle. I said, what is the principle? To put people inside offering bag. He said, what about persecution? He said, no. He just ignored the other things around that text and picked 100-fold because it has figures. I said, look at it now. Look at, he said, seed time and harvest. Then he now said, cold and heat. Heat. So, assuming you say you sow seed, you get harvest. So you sow cold and get heat. I mean, you should know about heat in Nigeria. Then you now have summer and winter. You don't know that one. Just put Harmattan and rainy season. Then you have day and night. So if you use the pattern of seed time and harvest as sow then get, that means you will sow cold and get heat. You will sow summer and get winter. Ask them in Europe, they prefer the summer part. You will sow day and get night. It's not logical. It's just saying that there will be shades of time in humanity. Now, because of that, we therefore must be very, very circumspect in what we say. We look at the parable of the kingdom too, and how we talk. There will be times that, you notice that the people we mentioned now, they had different seasons of their lives, you know, and at some point, Moses was like this, was like that. You know, and God was able to walk with those seasons. So I was talking to a friend yesterday. We talked about judging. Look at that, Matthew 7:1, about judging. And I said that the first person that showed me this truth was Brother Tokes, was in the 90s. We're having a conversation that day about judging. Something happened to someone, so he was now talking. And he said, judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in the brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is your own eye? You know, and you have people like that. You know, basically, they're just, anything, they'll just pass judgment. And they're very harsh. Before you go there, look at something in Luke 13. There were present at the season some that told of Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. So that means some guys were killed. And then verse 2, Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans? You think that they were bad guys? You think the reason why this happened to them was because they are sinners? He said, because they suffer such things. He said, no. He said, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. For those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think you that they were sinners above all that done? He said, no. That you don't use circumstances to judge people, you know. So in Matthew 7, Jesus said that, look, if you judge, you'll be judged. Now you can say, no, that's not New Testament. You better read it well. In Luke 6, 38, it said, give, it shall be given unto you. Of course, that started from verse 7. 6 actually says, therefore be merciful. 36, Luke 6. Let's take it together. Are you there? Be therefore what? Merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Okay? I mean, we should remember that all the time, right? Now look at the next verse. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, you shall be forgiven. Give, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give to your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, it shall be measured to you. Of course, this is not the offering bag. This has to do with mercy. You know, you can see that I said, be merciful as your heavenly Father is merciful. And there are people like that, that you can have an unusual righteous indignation. And that happens a lot. Maybe a Christian falls into sin or does something. You know, some people react. You think they are God. I cool down now. Say, look, the body of Christ is here. Nobody is there. What body of Christ? How many body of Christ do you know? You know, they just go hard, harsh, and almost mean in the way they talk. He says, be merciful. And if you see Jesus being, if it's hard on anybody, it's on hypocrites. On hypocrites. And you know, the reason why you need to judge with mercy. It's not, he didn't say you should not judge, but don't judge without mercy. And we saw that even the law of Moses, that had to do with two or three witnesses, it had to do with mercy. It was actually tempering the laws of his time. I said, look, put some mercy, reduce the punishment, take away the penalty. You know, and he was doing all of that to bring in the love of God, some equity, justice, and fairness. Sometimes we are just too harsh, you know, on the way we, you know, judge people. And I remember I was talking to someone and they mentioned a guy. And I said, well, that you are not in that person's shoes. You can't say, no, it's not about being in the shoes. I said, you are not. He said, if I tell you experience of people that one has to cancel, you will have to understand and see how God's word is going to work in their lives very differently. I gave you a story. Okay, it was a cell leaders conference. Oh, you hear it soon. You know, I was talking about reaching out to prostitutes. And you think, you just tell the prostitute, now you're a new creature. All those things are gone. Yet you still scope. Is it not gone too? Some of the anger you had as a nursery school boy, you see us as a pastor. After double portion of Holy Ghost. There's a way you should judge and be merciful. Somebody came to me years back and said he was struggling with smoking. You know, now, when I was younger, I won't mention the church so that nobody feels somehow. I would have said, smoke what? He said, fire, that's in your life. You are not really born again. No, but after a while I just told the guy, and I said, I understand. I don't understand because I've smoked too. No, I'm not. So I said, now, this is what you are going to do. And we went into the word of God. I said, you do this. He'll come back and cry. I said, no. You just go back on it. So I said, you could not stop it. It means that you are not truly saved. You are being merciless. That's not how to handle things. You must see people through the eyes of God's word. Now, this is not in any way extricating the place of judgment or not. No. Now, we want to look at one story. And like I said, it was Reverend Tokes that first showed me this, and it was years ago. And you might not quickly see it. You know, initially I used to think that it didn't flow that God, you know, David had Bathsheba, then killed Uriah. Then in my religious mindset, because I had preached it, heard it before then, that he had to somehow suffer for that. And what happened in his kingdom, that's why I couldn't build the house and all that. But what contradicts that is that God gave him a promise. We're going to see that shortly. It's part of what I'm going to talk about. He gave him a promise earlier that he will raise his seed to sit on the throne and will live forever. And he kept it. So, he's building the tabernacle or the temple that Solomon eventually built. It was now called, that tabernacle was called that of David. So the thing didn't flow. That the Christ is also called David. Nothing changed. You know. So saying that, no, you know, God had to, because of what he did to Uriah and all that. This is not in any way saying anybody should go after another Uriah. But we mustn't use bias to miss a critical lesson. Now, after he had killed Uriah, let me say another one so that you understand why this is important to learn it. It was the same Bathsheba that gave birth to Solomon. So it was the same woman who gave birth to Solomon. She was even of a Gentile lineage. Very critical. Now, do you know, look at 2 Samuel 11, 12 actually. As soon as Nathan came to him, Nathan said, listen carefully, Nathan came to him and said, Nathan said to David, and he came to him and said, there are two men in one city, one rich and other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, and the poor man had nothing save one little hill lamb, which he had bought and nourished up. He grew up together with him and with his children. He did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler to the rich man and spared the tick of his own flock, of his own herd, to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. Now, that was what he used an illustration to show to David something David did. Something about judgmental people is that they won't even know you're talking about them. They are so immersed in self-righteousness, they won't even know that they are hypocrites. So pay good attention here. Now, I'll give you a background to David's character. And that's why you must watch it. Now, in 1 Samuel 25, just before Saul died, 1 Samuel 25, notice this sequence in verse 13. David had this temper about quickly speaking. 13. He said, and David said to his men, guard you on every man his sword and get every man his sword and get up his own sword. And he went up after David after 400 men and 200 abode by the stuff. Okay? Look at verse 22. Verse 18, then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and all that, and she said to her servants, go before me before I come, and she told not her husband Nabal. And it was so as she rode on the house, she came down by the cover of the night. Behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. Now, David had said, surely in vain have I kept all this fellow heart in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him, and he requited me evil for good. Now, look at verse 22. So and more also do God unto the enemies of David, for I leave all that pertains to him by the morning light any that pissed against the wall. Then Abigail saw David, and she hasted and lighted up, and then fell before David on his face, and she besought him and all that. Look at verse 33. Let me even start from 30. It shall come to pass when the Lord shall done to my Lord according to all the good which I have spoken concerning thee, and appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of the heart unto my Lord, either that thou shed blood causelessly. That is, you don't have to, don't be in a haste to do this. That my Lord had avenged himself, but when the Lord have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid. And then David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee to meet me. And blessed be your advice, and blessed be thou, that you kept me, let's take it together, you kept me this day from coming to shed blood. So he was in a haste. Quickly, let's go, and you have to watch how you quickly react. Now, let's get back to that 2 Samuel 12. Are you following this? Now, 2 Samuel 12, as soon as Nathan finished the story, look at verse 5. Look at it. Look at it. Let's take it together. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. Now, what did the man take? Lamb. What did David take? Human lamb. And see how he's upset. Let's follow. And said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that has done this thing shall surely die. The Hebrew actually means he's a man of death, which means he should be exiled. Now, Look at the next verse. That was what he said. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he had done these things, because he had no pity. Nathan said to David, you are the man. Listen, guys. David lost four children. Exactly what he said came to pass. Four. The child, Amnon, Absalom, four. Adonijah, four. He lost all the four. Exactly what he said. So the judgment he gave came back to him. Don't be hasty at giving judgment. Truth is that what he said is in scripture. Look at Exodus 22. If a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore five oxen for an ox and four sheep for a sheep. So it's in scripture. What is that word scripture? Quickly take the word of God. Hey, take the In fact, in Proverbs 6:31, are you in church? The letter of Proverbs says the same thing. It says, if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold, he shall give all the substance of his house. So in Luke 19, remember, Zacchaeus. Nobody asked him, oh. Jesus said, Zacchaeus, make haste, verse 4, and come down, for today I'm come to abide your house. Zacchaeus was a, you know that song? Very little man, a very little man was he. You know it. Sycamore tree for the Lord, he wanted to see. You sang this song, you didn't know the Bible. He made haste. He is running now. He made haste. And he said him joyfully. And people were murmuring, saying he was going to be a guest of the sinner. And he stood and said, haste, haste. He said, no, Lord God, half of my goods I'll give to the poor. If I take anything, I'll restore fourfold. Who asked you? Who asked him? Jesus did not respond. Because you will restore more than fourfold. That was what David was saying. He said, whoever has done this thing, he said, times four. And four children they lost. He said, he's a man of death. Everything he said came to pass. Watch how you judge people. Many times it's a test for your own future. Be merciful. Is that very clear? Be merciful. If we're not going far, the way you judge your parents, some of you are receiving the judgment. Tenfold. Yeah. This is not a joke. Can't you just be slow? Must you talk? Just be slow. When you see a believer fall into problems, it's either you pray or you shut up or you learn a lesson. Who are you to sit in judgment? Brother Hagin shared the story. How he saw a guy, you know, he was supposed to be a preacher or so, and he went into the dark alley. Said if he knew the word of God, he wouldn't do that. Said Lord said that if you were in his shoes, you wouldn't have done as good as he did. And it's the truth. If many of us were in the shoes of the people we judge. See, when it comes to judgment, me, I have no something. The perfect judge is God. You can never have all the facts. You can't. How many facts do you want to have? Do you want to have the intention? You can't know. So that's why we must be measured in our judgment. Be measured. It is not taking away judgment from believers. No, we have to judge as believers. That's why we know the word of God, to know right from wrong. But by the time you start taking on people, I imagine, look at Saul of Tarsus. Would you It's easy to, because it's by hindsight now, we are reading it. Do you think a Saul of Tarsus, you hear he's born again, you say, The brethren were afraid to move close to him. In fact, Peter sent him, there are two times they sent Paul away. Acts 9, they sent him away so that he was rest. They asked 13, they sent him to go and preach. Would you have believed? Say Saul of Tarsus, say, he's now a man of God. Say, how? But you think God sees that? God knows your heart. He knows my own. And there are things I know in life. It's only God that will tell you what happened. If Joseph did not become prime minister, whose story would you have believed? In fact, do we even know the story? It's his version you have. Potiphar's wife. The woman, she's lonely at the top. That's what happened. Because, it's the truth. Of course, it's Joseph's story. I'm just saying that to let you see that. Because we became a prime minister. Because the prime minister now say, the journalist said, hey, can we interview you? How did you get to prison? Then the story will be, who is Potiphar's wife to contradict him? Say, it's not true. She writes a press release. You think it's democracy? She will be quiet all the days of her life. The reason why his story is the one you believe is because he became prime minister. If you were in Egypt then, just say, they said that young boy, all the way from, he came to help him. Help. Potiphar just helped him. See what he was trying to do. God deliver also. You will not have said something you should not have said. Like, but those you don't say, were you there? You know, people who relate stories say, now when that guy entered, you know some guys, when you talk about movies that they didn't watch. When that guy entered, that's how that brother shut the door. Were you there? You'll be describing it in, just say, they said, I don't know. Is that clear? And this is on social media. Some of you, people go and like. There's nothing you judge. You will get it back. As long as God lives. Judge with caution. Me, I'd rather err on the side of not judging people than judging them wrongly. I don't know. So say, what do you think? I don't know. And believers must be like that. And to know that in people's lives, times and seasons always happen. Do you know that in Samson's case, I heard the Delilah story and all that. By the way, it's not Delilah that caught his hair. Just good to know. After his hair was caught and he was, in incarceration, somehow, scripture says the hair started to grow. But you know the point? Nobody noticed. Because they have ruled him out. Don't rule anybody else. Don't do it. They have ruled him out. They forgot. And what he did for them, that guy said, me. He said, just grant me one time. And the writer of Judges said that what he did once was more than what he did his lifetime. He dealt with everybody at once. Is it the Holy Ghost? I don't, you answered the question. Who, what could he have been? Evil spirit. Did you not ask God? So, you look at it and say, how would you now judge people? Imagine if you judge Moses. You know, say, God said Moses cannot enter the land. Hey! Did you hear? They said Moses cannot enter. Hey! God told him that, you can't, do you sacrifice more people here? Hey! God said to him, I've always said it. Moses, emoji. God now came publicly. Then, while you are in church, God now said, hey, Moses, they are talking, they are not calling you. What is there? You don't want me to go, but you have to choose somebody. The people you think they are fighting, is that husband and wife? When you are doing counseling, be careful. Not me, I know. Be careful. Just be saying, you grew up with your parents now. The next morning they'll just come in unity. And you're in trouble. mommy. Your mom will just call you. He said, the mom that you parried me yesterday. So God and Moses just said, okay, choose Joshua. Joshua, good Joshua. Nobody there talked about it. That's a matter of transgression. That's Moses. Matter of transgression, Moses. You see Joshua there? You understand? So you should be careful. Because whatever you judge people with, you will get the same thing. And there is no way you walk in this life that you not make your own errors. You're about to say, there is no way you can walk and walk and walk, your head will not come like this. Even if you're a robot, you can't walk and walk and you do like this. So don't judge people. Many of us don't even pray for people. Just judge. Bam. Hey. Did you hear? And some people, it's as though the fruit of the spirit is gossip in their lives. So people cannot stay in one place without talking about people. Yeah. Did you know that, brother? Then are they doing you? I mean, this is too. But don't forget, Jesus said, whatever measure, you will get it. All the four sons of David were lost. Four. He said fourfold. And that also happened to him. Watch what you see. We trust God. He'll be restored in Jesus' name. What about just saying, would it hurt you to say that? Restore Jesus' name. What about, God will restore everybody. The power of God will work. The church of God is going strong. Someone told me, he said, he's wondering, how could he do it about church? His church is not, I said, I saw something you wrote in 2016, that the church is losing its power. You said it in 2019 again, that the church is not doing what God has wanted. How will your own church grow? You are speaking for your church. He said, emoji. Ah. I said, G-O-M. We are saying the same thing. Do you think we run the church? Jesus is the head of the church. Your mouth has carried problem. It's his church. Now say, the church is this one, the church is finished. And the head is going to be looking at you. The church he bought with his blood. Is your ministry that will finish? So say, the church has lost its voice. And his ministry is going down. The church has never lost its voice. Did you get the point? Don't talk like that. You can say, we need to grow more in the word of God. We need to reach more. You can talk in a measured way. You can collect us, you know, and say, we need to walk in the word. You know, we need more people to know the word. We know, you can stop. But you say, the church is, you are not careful. You know the thing about it? You now go on social media, or you listen to the world talk about the church. You now use their words. You know they will not be held. Is the world? Is you. The one who understands salvation by grace through faith. The one who knows that we were saved by the mercy of God. Is that you that will reap what you have said? Watch what you say. This is not in any way to kill discernment. You should be discerning. But you should, in discernment, do it spiritually. If many of us can just be praying for people. I tell the story of this guy. He didn't like our church. When they had problems in ministry, I called the pastor. This guy mustn't go down. We have to pray for him. And we have to pray real hard. I called two friends and said, we're going to fast and pray for this guy. Because you see, how would you think? Something happened to the body of Christ. You think you are outside it? No. So, in our lives, let's watch how we judge issues. At your office, at your workspace, watch what you say. Make your judgment, but be measured in what you say. Is that very clear? Look at James 2:13. Don't be harsh. Don't be mean. Don't be harsh. Don't be mean. Be firm on the word of God and the love of God, but don't be mean. Look at verse 13. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath shown no mercy. Can you see it? Can you see it? James 2:13. Can you see it? For he shall have judgment without mercy, that has shown no mercy. Can you see it? And mercy rejoices against what? Judgment. He will have judgment with no mercy, who shows no mercy in his judgments. I don't want to give you stories that we have seen. Watch what you say. Because the truth about it is that when you are reaping the judgment, nobody will be there. You just be struggling. You have said what you should not say. So you have David. He never dealt with that temper. You have stopped. Must you talk? You know, that was why afterwards, you saw he was calmer. He was no longer, it appeared he was now weak. He was calmer. Because you have seen how you should not be too hasty to make judgment. There's nothing that stops you from waiting. You will vote for me an opinion. Must you say something? Must you even have an opinion? Somebody has 5 members. The 5 members, only 2 are really born again. 3 are born but not again. He's judging somebody with 1,000 members. Do you think he can ever have 1,000 members? Watch what you say. You can make judgment calls without being merciless. And always ask yourself, what would the love of God do? Funny enough, I had this story, like this brother, like I just gave him the same story. I said, someone did, it was the one that did it though. I said, someone said, he said, Pastor, that must be a mean person. That person must never be close to you. That person must, so when he has said it, I was looking at him. He said, Pastor, is it me? I said, you are the man. You are the man. How did you do that? Do you have to lie against people? You don't have to do that. Be merciful. Is that very clear? Good. So what you do at each season of your life is very important. There is no time that will be the same. We've seen that, right?
Yes, sir.
Because just like you, human beings are not the same. Just like you, human beings change. Just like you, human beings cannot be perfect. We can have perfect moments, but perfection cannot be perfect all the time. So we must make use of time. I showed you last week how Esau, Hebrews chapter 12, what was said about Esau. Look at his words. Told his brother, what do I have to do with my firstborn? What do I, you know? You think because you said it, it's a joke, or you are in anger. Does that change that you said it? It doesn't change that you said it, no. I'm angry is not an excuse to say the wrong thing. James said, if in everything, don't offend in words. Words. Hold your, say, out of the multitude of words, wanted no sin, you will sin. Those of you like gist are in Christ. You will be committing sin. The things you should not say, you will say it. The things you should not, you should be talking. See what he just said. He was hungry. And then when the father blessed Jacob, he came to the father and said, is there no more blessing to give me? I change your mind. Writer of Hebrews said, he sought repentance. It's not that he repented. He wanted the father to change his mind. But there was none. Because that time was gone. So we must know how to use time well. Is that clear? And very well. How do I recover lost times? Now, I said something at the beginning. God has made provision for our frailties. That's why the Bible doesn't have one single character. Why do you have many characters in the Bible? Because God has made provision for varieties, variables. We have so many people. This one will stop, this one will start again, this one will stop, this one will start again. From Adam to Moses, from Moses to the last patriarch. But look at something. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, he had spoken to David and said to him, he will raise his seed to sit on his throne. Did David do something in the middle of it? We saw in 2 Samuel 12. But now look at the beauty of it. And the Psalms 2 verse 7. My son, this has ever begotten you. I think I've explained that to you, right? That's the Psalm of David's son. Psalm 110, Psalm of David's son. Look at 2 Samuel 12. Someone in church? When they told him the child was dead, he knew he said it. He said, the child is dead. What should I do? Then he, look at 24. He comforted Bathsheba, his wife. The scripture calls him his wife. And went into her and lay with her. She bore his son and called his name Solomon. Verse 24, 2 Samuel 12. And the Lord loved him. Abba. You will have said, let's judge God. Oh. The Lord loved that child. He did. And that promise was now for that child. The same child. So what has happened? David had redeemed the time. So talk about that shortly. Ephesians 5:16. Are you in church? There are some things that are time wasting. I'm going to show you in a moment. Ephesians 5 and verse 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. We said the word redeem is practically to save from trouble. Exagorazo, which means I will have to save the time wasted in my mistakes, in my errors. The moment I am still here, I can redeem time. I can save the time. And that's one of the reasons why we have forgiveness of sins. When we err, he restores us. When we are wrong, he has forgiven us in Christ. He has given us the gift of grace. So what do? We walk in that light. Pay attention. Jesus said in John 9:4, we saw that the other day, he said, you must walk while it is day, for night will come, John 9, when no man can walk. Jesus said so. Which means, you must ensure you don't waste time. Is that clear? You must ensure you don't waste time. Now, what can we waste time on? Listen well to what I'm about to say. Regret. I regret. Now, there's nothing wrong in you saying something has gone bad. Acknowledge it. Right? God acknowledged man has sinned. Right? In Genesis 6, 3 to 6 and 7 and 11 and 12. And he even said 120 years. It didn't take 120 years to regret. It took 120 years to still see a solution. 120 years. What happened to David? He's fasting. When he said the child was dead, he went to eat. And he comforted the wife and bore another child. Imagine if he stayed there. I'm the man. Man I am. You were the man before you said it. To regret. And then we give the enemy room. There were some people who said, what happened? They not be saying what happened. They not be analyzing. And the more they do that, they'll feel bad. They'll be this is what. This is, you are wasting time. You are wasting time. Look at, let me show you. How did I skip this one? Look at Luke 22. I was talking about talking in a hurry. Luke 22. Jesus was talking, let me show you in Nigerian language, Jeje Leo, and said, Simon, verse 31:32, I saw Satan last night. I saw your name on his hit list. He's coming after you, but I prayed for you, right, that your faith should not fail. When you are converted, strange, but say, never, Lord! Never, Lord! Word man. Never, Lord. I'm a word man. It can't happen. Say, Lord, I'm ready to go with you. Wherever you go. Do you even know where he's going? He said, prisoner to death. He didn't know, he didn't put cross. Jesus said, okay, then let me tell you. The cock will crow. This did not crow. Till you deny me 3 times. Not once. 3 times. Jesus, Mark. They have already told you they are praying for you. Say, amen. No. Say, never! 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 Hey! Thank God for the grace of God. Never say never. Just say, thank God for the power of God. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
Never say never. Some say, no. I can never take what doesn't belong to me. What's around you that doesn't belong to you? What's, there's nothing around you that is tempting. They put you in an office and your first signature is 10 billion. So you should be merciful. Is that clear? Don't be a hypocrite. Amen?
Yeah.
Let's get back to what we're saying. Regret. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
Move away from regret. Acknowledge what you have done that is wrong. And move on. Don't wallow and be crying. That's self-righteousness now. You are human. And you fell into a problem or a sin. Acknowledge it. Is that clear? Don't deny it though. Acknowledge it. Seek God's help in His word. But move. Is that clear? Regret is time wasting. Do you hear me? It's time wasting. You're just wasting time. Don't say, I'll do what is bad so I will not regret. It's time wasting. You will waste more time that way. Self-pity. Worldly sorrow. Self-pity. It's time wasting. It's time wasting. He said, go and tell the brethren and Peter. Peter was still saying, Lord, I'm sorry, you know. Feed my lamb. Feed my sheep. Zacchaeus was saying, I will return. He said, salvation has come to your house. Is that clear? Self-pity. Don't waste time. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Stubbornness. You see God's word. It's clear. He doesn't know. Yes, like Pharaoh and Saul. You don't be stubborn. Stubbornness is not the virtue of a Christian. Firm convictions, but stubbornness is, I will prove a point. Nobody can tell me what to do. That's not a Christian. No. A Christian is tender-hearted. Say, I'm tender-hearted. A Christian does not insist on his own rights. If you are told what is wrong, you take it and you correct yourself. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
Stubbornness only wastes your time. So do not live in regret, self-pity. Also, don't be stubborn. Don't continue wrongdoing. and thinking good will come out of it. That means stubborn. Saul was like that. He even lied. He said he was doing it for the Lord. Samuel said to him, to obey is better than speaking in tongues. Obey God. To acting better than fasting and praying. The time you should obey, you are doing fasting. That obedience is better than doing fasting. That fasting is time wasting. Just do what you are told. And stop looking for coats. They thought they had buried us. They didn't know where seed. Who buried you? You buried yourself. Looking for quotes all over the place. People looking for good quotes are creating content for likes. But they call them motivational speakers. Just repent and stop. What can I use, self? Just change and stop talking grammar. Don't be stubborn. Is that clear? Who told you something, change. Okay? Like we have said, in every season we pray. Right? We give thanks. In every season, we preach the word and we meditate upon the word day and night. Anything that reduces your tone of prayer is not of God. Anything that stops you from giving thanks, including your own error, is not of God. Anything that stops you from thinking on the word of God, you're not thinking about yourself. Hey, me, who are you? Oh, me. You are not whole. Told you are whole. It's Christ that makes you whole. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
So you pray always. Meditate upon the word always. And there are times like that, you know, God just wants you to know that you are human. You know? Because some of us, we just survive. That's why we feed on the word of God every day. We can't do without it. We can't do without prayer. We can't do without giving thanks. Is that very clear? So don't waste time. Okay? Recover the lost times. Don't be stubborn. Don't live in self-pity. Don't live in regret. And God has helped us to help people. Face what God has told you to do. We'll just sit down and be creepy. Look. I saw one guy. He said, we were talking to him. I said, look, what did God tell you to do? So God told me, said, you have an original calling. Did you take, is it phone call you got? He said, no. Missed call? No. Original call? No worry. God, who called you, knew this was going to happen. He said, yeah. Go and pray. He said, don't listen to me. This is all of us. Listen to what God told you. Because we are all biased. Feed on the word of God and act on it. Became gracious. I mean, grateful. Don't let anybody... You are hypocrites. You'll be talking to. You're about to call it Ari Tenim, are we? When it comes to other people, they'll be talking. Right? So don't live in self-pity. Don't live in stubbornness. The day you are stubborn. You see, the Igbo proverb says, a stubborn fly follows the corpse into the grave. Why stop? Yeah, who are you stubborn for? If you reject someone's cancer, does it hurt the person? It's you that it will hurt. Who was hurt? Saul or Samuel? It's Saul now. Don't be stubborn. They say this is wrong. It's wrong. It's not the word of God. It's not the word of God. Do this one. Do it. I'll do what I want to do. No, don't be stubborn. Meditate upon the word of God. Learn to know that time, just like today, is an opportunity. The moment you have time, opportunity to redeem lost time. Opportunity to use the time well. We said last week, we must value time, right? See time as precious. Precious. That's why I don't waste my time. There are things I don't read. I don't bother to read them. I don't bother to know. I don't. I'm too engaged in different things. I'm always trying to find solutions to things. Some people are always trying to find problems to solutions. If I leave this pulpit now, I'm going to engage people. There's something I'm supposed to give people tonight. Let's go and do this one. Go and let's say, I don't have time for all those petty. There's no need. There's no need. You just engage yourself. So I say, did you hear about this person? I said, now, if I put all the stories of our church members in my head, think my head will remain small. You now want me to add that one to it? You want to kill me? I have church members, I'm thinking, God is calling me, Pastor Lam will send me a text in the mail. So I just want to, with your permission, I want to share something with you. Pastor, I'm thinking about it. You said somebody in winner's chapel. Do I look like a winner? I'm not a winner. I'm community. Everybody will answer their father's name. It's true, you bother. Then you say your life is wasting. It's as wasted when you were putting your mouth in what's not your business. Except you're a journalist. Don't be looking for stories. It's journalists, that's their profession. Some of you are journalists here. God will help you. If you're not a journalist, what's my business? Do you understand? So he was sitting one day and said, you know, dollar has gone up. I said, no, this conversation you're having, who needs it? He said, the dollar. I said, when last did you see dollar? You've not traveled? They've not traveled to come and see you. So what is, you just like to talk. And I said, things are tough. You now fall down from Okada. You said it's your mouth. Right? First Corinthians 7. Guys, this is me talking to you. I want you to take advantage. Do you get what I'm saying? No time. Don't waste. See. So don't waste time. Now start looking at things. Where is this one going? Do you get it? I like what one sister told me. So I called the brother. Don't waste your time. Where are you going? Say, at my age, you don't toast me. We agree to love one another. See, I passed that stage. You tell me where you are. Tell me your intention. Don't start saying, can we hang out? Do I look like a hanger? The sister told me, sir, where are we going? It's when we're in university. They can be saying, let's go and eat out. I'm not hungry. Tell me where you are going. You want to marry me? Yes. Let's discuss it. Discuss it and be straightforward. You know, he said, I just like how you say what you want to say. That's how somebody was told to, they told that guy to go and toast his sister. And they sent a text to a number of somebody he had not seen. The person now walked past him, he didn't know. What kind of life is that? He didn't know. So he said, he don't know. So you see the person, I don't know the person. You know, I said, I believe we can do something together. But that's for another day. Don't waste your time. What are you doing for a living? You're sitting there and saying, you know, the people that, some people are complaining about forex. The people abroad, they're lying, you know, they like it. The same rain that fell on sugarcane, fell on bitter leaf. Is it not true? Okay, sit down there and be complaining. Some people are paid to make people sad, because that's their job. Don't be saying things like, I like. They are making their money from your crying. They are making their money and you are still crying. You need to look at your own advantage. Maybe those who are crying, buy, help them be making. But I'm not joking. Say, cry. Let me ask you. When we were covering our nose, some people were making money. They are here. They scored the idea to be doing face mask, nose mask. They prospered. We were covering our nose. They now started selling gin. We wash. They say we collect something. Is it rain that rained? I'm just telling you. What have you produced that you want people to buy? They say things are tough. What have you produced? That your head. What is there? What are you producing? What are you telling people to come and see? Let me leave that for today. 1 Corinthians 7. I don't believe in the prosperity gospel. Make sure you measure your words. Say, I don't believe in materialism.
Don't say, I don't believe in prosperity. Oh. Say, I don't believe in materialism. Do you get it? You know, I always say it. That, you say you don't love money, give me the one in your pocket. Do you get it? Don't say, I don't believe in prosperity. I just want to serve God. So I say, naked, we came to naked, we will go. Both rich and poor will go naked. But the one that will have something will help people. Is that not true?
Yes, sir.
Aha. 1 Corinthians 7. Paul, in verse 21. In verse 20, see this Paul, he's an interesting man. Say, let every man abide the same calling where he is called. He said, are you called being a servant, an employee? Care not for it. He now put caveat. But, because Paul is an entrepreneur. He said, but if you may be free, use it rather. Let me read some versions to you. The NIV says, are you called a servant? Don't let it trouble you. Although, if you can gain your freedom, do so. New Living Translation. Don't let that worry you. But if you have a chance to be free, take it. ESV. Don't be concerned. But if you can gain your freedom, avail yourself of the opportunity. Are you following this? I'll take the New American Standard Bible. Don't let that concern. Don't let someone say, look, be content. I'm not happy with what I earn. I know I cannot afford to do something. I can't. Paul said, don't let it overrun you. But he said, although is also inspired. He says, if you are able to become free, take advantage. Take advantage. So now, I can only take advantage when I recognize it. I've told you over and over, never abuse access. Don't ask for transport fare for people that will give you car. Say, sir, I just want to know. Sorry to bother you. When I came here, I came with my last money. The man is supposed to be, he said, you bring a proposal. The man wants to look into it. They are trying to supply something. They are talking to you. And I'm saying, sir, thank you. Can I just talk to you briefly, sir? I say, yes, young man. I'm told the procurement people to look at it. I know, sir, but my son's school fees. Hey! The man just said, no problem. Give me your account number. That's all. Go and ask somebody else. The person that can't give you a job, let that one do school fees. Always know. My mentor told me that. I asked him, I said, yes, sir, doctor, my house rent. He said, Shegun, don't ask me for house rent. I'll give you, but that's all I'll give you. He said, thank you, sir. I didn't try to say the widow in the Bible petitioned, he continued. You go and you misuse scripture. I said, the widow persisted. She persisted. The guy will now give you the same bread. That the friend, sorry, persisted. Give you bread. That's all. Man said, no, don't worry. Say, go on. Say, that one, you're a young man. Go and hustle for it. What I want to do for you is not house rent. Was not a Christian, no? A Christian was like, just give me, they say, who will do that job? That one is house rent that is looking for. So I recognize opportunity. Don't waste opportunities with people. Don't be sending broadcast messages. Do you understand? There are people I know that on my phone. There was one man, I sent him a text. I said, can I call you? He said, Papa, I'm so sorry when I landed. They'll say, don't just call the person 4 or 5 times at 2 a.m. They'll just block you. They'll say, some people are heartless. No, you are heartless. People that you should help, you can't help them again because you're heartless. You can't use your common sense. Paul says, if you have the chance, use it. And I know chance will come. Do you get it? Opportunity will come. And you will recognize it. Do you hear what I'm saying? You will recognize it. You won't go and ask for money where you should see opportunity. Sir, we're doing camp meeting. They say we should give. Yeah, I'll give you 1K. So if you have the opportunity, he says, use it. Opportunity will come. I will use it. Opportunity will come. Acts 1:7. Jesus said, it is not for you, but to know the times and the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. Times and seasons will always come. I'll close this way. And I'll pick up on this on another subject next week. See? Learn to be led by the Spirit of God. You see, one of the greatest things, I believe Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin, taught the church is how you can be led by the Spirit of God. You know, in the intricate details of our lives, you can't say, I'll say someone say, the written word, if it's not in the Bible, I can't do it. I said, that's true. But that statement should be qualified. You cannot know where to go in the Bible. Specifics are given to you by the Spirit. And it is right there in Scripture. There's no Nigeria in Scripture. But we are led to preach here. Right? So that is the leading of the Spirit. A Christian must embrace the supernatural. The leading of the Spirit of God. On what to do. How to go about it. The leading of God's Spirit in ministry. And I told you, it ties to your whole life. How you obey God in ministry will affect your business. Because your business is tied to it. Affect your career. Don't take the work of the ministry last. Put it first. And you will see every other thing arrange itself. Be led by the Spirit of God. Be led by the Spirit of God. Look at Paul. Acts of the Apostles chapter 9. Jesus appeared to him. He now sent Ananias. I've told you, the human agencies that God uses is unbroken in Scripture. God always uses men. See, he appeared to Paul himself, but he now sends someone to do the job. Listen, by Acts 13, who did he use? The prophets and apostles and teachers in Antioch. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul for the work I've called them. And the word orizo was what Paul picked in Romans 1:1 for his own ministry. Who separated Paul? God. Who separated Paul? The prophet and the teachers. God uses men. Who led Israel out of the land of Egypt? God. Who led out of that region? Moses. If you don't understand the human agency, you will see the God agency. Or the God inspiration, pardon me. And if you don't understand the God part, you also miss it with human being. If you stick to just human being, and don't know that they are used by God, you are lost it. If you stick to human and God, and don't forget that God uses men, you are also lost it. You have to understand that God works with men. And see it that way. So in the leading of God's Spirit, there's the inward witness that we see. Leading of the Spirit of God, there's prophecy. Those things, know them. Teachings along the leading of perception, being led by the Spirit of God, are teachings you should listen to often. So I close with four things that Brother Hagin taught us. E.W. Kenyon, put the word first place. Meditate on the word. Speak the word often and act on the leading of the Spirit. Put the word first place. I close here. Meditate on the word. Often. Speak the word often and act on the leading of the Spirit. Brother Hagin adds this. He said, instantly obey it. Instantly obey the leading of God's Spirit. Times and seasons happen to all of us. But we are wise with time. So become an expert trader with time. He says, redeem the time, value it. Don't allow time wasters around you. Did you hear me? Just waste your time. Want us to do business together? What are we doing? Let's push it to the point. You're just going out and going in with me. What are you doing? Are we marrying or not? Let's look at it. Me, do I look like Luke more? Oh boy, go straight to the point. Want to do business, want to make money. It's not about money making money. I'm doing what you say. It's not about money, it's about kingdom. You see, queen. Do you get it? Don't waste your time. You're in the work of the ministry. Tell some of you go online, you're arguing with people. Well, what are you arguing about? He said, no, something can be lost, it can be taken. Those who lose it, let them lose it. Those who gain, let them gain it. But you know what? Go and preach the gospel. Don't waste your time. Time wasting in ministry. Time wasting in life. Time wasting. You wake up late, go to work late, walk late, leave work late, get home late, sleep late, eat late. Ah! Rearrange your life. There's disorder somewhere. Rearrange your time. And there's no other way to rearrange one's life than rearrange your other priorities. Someone said, it's not that we don't have time. We only have enough distractions. I agree with that. Enough distractions. Avoid distractions. Focus. One thing I know is this. See, whatever you pay attention to, it will always grow. It will grow. Pay attention to your life, it will grow. To your business, it will grow. To your disciples, they will grow. To your ministry, it will grow. Pay attention to your health, it will be better. Pay attention to your mind, it will be more productive. Pay attention to your relationship, they become healthy. Pay attention! Someone said, knowledge is not free because you have to pay attention. You have to pay attention. Pay attention is a price. Don't let people seize your attention. I just don't have that time. When I'm talking with people, I look at my wristwatch. My friends know me. I tell them, I'll be gone in 15 minutes. I time my gist. I time the time I'll use with you. So I say, that's too legalistic. I'm a lawyer. So that's my problem. Time it. Amen. Is that clear? No time wasting. Use time well. No stupid judgment. Are you clear?
Yes, sir.
Be focused on your life and ministry. Stand to your feet. Pray. What are you led to pray about? Pray. We are recovering lost parts in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.